Good morning, everyone. Good to hear you all and see you all this morning. Singing is not my forte. I'll be the first one to say that. A number of years ago, my dad had started a little work down in an area called Knoll Shore, and I would do the Sunday school, and Dad would speak upstairs. And on this particular Sunday, Dad disappeared, and I had to do the speaking upstairs. It was just a small little building. And my brother came with me. Now, my brother's the musician. He got all the musical talent. I got none. It's not fair, I know, but that's the reality. Anyway, so he sits in the front pew. The organist is over here. We're singing Amazing Grace. And none of the people sing. Like, they all just sat there and stared at me. And, you know, I'll sing if I have to, but that's not my gift. I know that. And I'm not at all deluded about this. Anyway, when it goes, that saved a wretch like me. I don't know what it was about the organ, but the key was wrong. And it went way up, and I'm just scraping the ceiling. And he's sitting there laughing himself to kill himself. And he's not helping me out. That's the worst part. Anyway, I'm thankful that I lived to sing another day. And he got to see another day, too. Anyway, I invite you to turn with me, please, to the Psalms, and we're going to look in Psalm 19 to start with. As you turn there, I would ask you that as you think of it, and even put a reminder in your calendar this week to pray for the camp, and just every aspect of it, just anything can really throw things out of sync, and we really covet your prayers, all of us. I'm just a small piece of the puzzle. We know the directors, the counselors, the staff in the kitchen, and every part of it. And so please, please, please pray. Please do. I'd like to speak to you a little bit this morning. I kind of did a preview of this last night. Is about God speaking to us. You know, in a world today that is full of sound, we get bombarded from every angle. We're getting sent text messages, we're getting calls, we're getting emails, we're getting not just the stuff that we get on our technology, but also we get signs that are posted. There's billboards everywhere. I remember driving downtown Halifax, and I forget how many billboards I counted on my way to work. It was just billboard after billboard, all of them with a message that demanded my attention. And yet the thing that is so critical, folks, is that the message that is most important is being overlooked. Because God is speaking. He's never stopped speaking. And God is speaking to you and to me. And this morning, God has a message for every one of us. Not one of us is excluded. God has a message for you. He has a message for me. And woe betide us. Folks, this is serious. God wants to speak to you and to me. Everyone here today, God wants to speak to. And sadly enough, what you're going to do this afternoon, what you're going to do this week, whatever it is going to crowd in and it's going to push out the voice of God wanting to speak to you. And this is the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God who wants to speak to you. Will you listen? Will you listen? I'd like to read with you Psalm 19, the first four verses. It says there, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." And so I'd like to begin to speak to you about, as God speaks, one of the things we have to say is, first of all, am I hearing the message? Am I hearing God speaking? And am I responding? Because part of communication is that it comes out and then the receiver responds to what is said. So are you hearing the message and are you responding? And so the most basic of all methods by which God is speaking to us is through creation. And the psalmist tells us this. He says the heavens are declaring the glory of God and the firmament is showing his handiwork. But what's happening? Even today, our world is such that it's distracting us from the most fundamental message of God. And what is it? Well, you watch people nowadays, and what is everybody doing? If they got 5 seconds alone, they're out there just scrolling. It's like, and scrolling. We're not even able to hear the message of God he's communicating to us through nature. And this is the most fundamental. The psalmist says this. But yet God is speaking to us through the heavens that are around us. And what is he saying to us? Well, the message is very basic. It says here he's shown us his glory. And it says the firmament has shown his handiwork. And wherever you go, you can see this. It's not always in the beauty. We lived in Peru, and some of you have been there, and you've got to see the lack thereof. If you've never been there, western Peru is desert. One of the driest deserts in the world. And yet there is a certain amount of beauty in there, but yet it's God's handiwork. And you travel across there, and you see God's handiwork. You travel here. We picked up a family at the airport Friday from Algeria. It's desert in Algeria. And as we were bringing them to their place where they're staying, they're going, oh, it's so green. And they kept saying that it's so green, and they're looking around, and they're just not used to that. And they're just drinking it in. Well, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And what is the message of creation? The message of creation is this, is that there is someone out there and he wants to speak to you. He's calling your attention from everything that's around you. This did not come from nothing. This is the handiwork of God himself, and he wants your attention. And so I encourage you, if you have never done that before, put down what you're doing and take the time to look around you and look again at God's creation. Because the psalmist says himself, it's declaring God's glory. God is showing something about himself through creation. And there's many aspects, but I mean, in the very most fundamental, is God is showing us his power and his might. Stop and look at the heavens, and just it goes and goes and goes. And then at night you see the stars way out there, and to think they're millions and millions of miles away, and that's God's handiwork. And why is he telling us that? Because at the very basics of it all, the basic of his message is this, that he wants a relationship with you and me. See, this is not all there just, happens to be there. No, there's a purpose there for it. And the purpose of God's creation comes down to this, is that he wants a relationship with you and me. And so the first question is, do you have that relationship with God? Do you have the relationship with God? Because a relationship is based on communication, right? One person speaking, the other person hearing, and then responding. And if you don't have a relationship with God, then we're going to talk about that, but in fact, you're separated from God. But God has given us this so that we can have that. And so the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the firmament is showing his handiwork. It's speaking about the handiwork of God. Now, I want you to notice something, that when God does this, see, you and I have the ability to understand what God is saying. God has created you and I with the faculties to receive what God is saying. And what is that? Well, he's made us, it says in Genesis chapter 1, he's made us in the image of God. He's given us a will. He's given us a mind to think. And he's given us emotions. You go out there, we were driving along, and Kim was looking down, and she goes, oh, we saw a calf, all right? I know I grew up on the farm, and so calf does not mean a lot to me. It's a calf. She goes, oh, look at the little calf. He's running along. Look at him. That's kind of like, yeah, it's a calf. But that's the emotion. Oh, I love that. And we were looking along. She goes, oh, look how beautiful. She kept whacking me in the nose. And look at that. It's beautiful. And it was. It was nice to see the scenery here in PEI. But the point is, we have a will, we have a mind, and emotions. God gave that to us. Why? So that we can take what God says and we can process it and understand it. And specifically, God has given us our mind to evaluate these things and understand them. And I love what the psalmist says. Listen to what he says. He warns us. God is warning us. And listen to what he says. He says, don't be like the horse or like the mule. Are you like a horse or a mule? And you know what he says about them? He says they do not have understanding. The horse and the mule, they do not have that understanding. And so what do? They put a bridle in their mouth. Are you like that? All this around you and you don't understand what God is saying? Because God is speaking to you. And in fact, just turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Because God holds mankind responsible for the message, the most fundamental message of nature itself. Romans chapter 1, and look at verse 19 and 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. If you have a Bible, whether it's on your phone or on your a paper one, open it up, please, and look at that. It's worth seeing for yourself. Romans chapter 1, 19 and 20, it says, because what may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. God himself has shown them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even, now get this, his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The message is there for everyone to see. It's there for you to see. It's there for me to see. And one day, we'll all stand before God. And on that day, when we stand before God, no one will be able to say, I didn't know. Because God will say, I gave you evidence. I gave you evidence. And the purpose of this evidence here, Paul would say this in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The purpose of this evidence is not so I just look up and go, oh, that's pretty cool. It's so that we seek the Lord. Okay? The purpose of the evidence in creation is so then I go and I say, if there's a creator, then that means I'm a creation. I need to find out about my creator. And that's what God wants you to do. And so God has actually, he's taken that next step so that we can know him. It's not just simply through creation that we are to know him. He's actually gone further. And so what has happened? Well, if you go to, if you take the time, we won't take the time to go through all the Old Testament. And what happens? You look through the Old Testament, you see God speaking to man. And how did he speak to men? Well, he spoke to them different ways. Sometimes he would speak from the mountaintop to the children of Israel. Can you imagine having been there and hearing God speaking? It says the mountain was trembling. And it says there was thunders and lightning and the sound of a loud trumpet. And it was so scary, Moses himself said, I feared and trembled greatly. This is Moses who descended to the presence of God, and yet there he was shaking as he heard this. God spoke from the mountain. But not just that. God would speak to his prophets. And you know, I look here and there's not a lot of young people here, but I just encourage them, and you can encourage your children with this, is that who was the one God spoke to when there was no one else listening? It was a little boy. Little boy didn't even know God's voice, and yet he was ready. And when Eli said, no, that's God speaking to you, Samuel. And then Samuel would say, speak. Your servant is listening. And God spoke to Samuel, and it says the word of God, listen to this, the word of God was rare. I would suggest to you today the word of God is rare. Not a lot of people are hearing God speaking. But God used a little boy. There was one little boy, and God says, I'm going to use him, and God did. Would you like to be that young man, that young woman? We can be, because God is still speaking. He hasn't changed. He's the same God of Moses, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Daniel. God hasn't changed. And he's still as much looking for young men and women who want to be invested in him. There's still a possibility of Daniel's today. Just take the time and read the history of revivals, and God is always using young men and women. Would you like to be one? Then you devote yourself to God, and you know what? God will not leave you hanging. He will more than bless you. I can assure you that based on the word of God. And so you look through the Old Testament, and you see God speaking in many different ways. But you know, I want to go to the place where you really see God bringing it all together, because it was all kind of like, if you could call it a funnel. Yeah, there's creation, but creation was pointing us to God. And so God began speaking through his prophets. He spoke through the law, and he kept speaking. But ultimately, his purpose, and we're going to turn there to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to see what God's purpose was for us. And in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse Look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It says there, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So you look at that and you see all the different ways in the Old Testament God spoke to the Israel by the prophets. But now look at verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. We're just going to stop there for right now. And so God has now taken this message and he's taken it to a whole new level. Because before he was communicating to us through the prophets, he communicated to us through the written word that he'd given to them. But that wasn't enough. Because now you look at what he says here. He says, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And what's interesting here is what this verse is actually telling us. It's that God was sending into the world a family member, someone who knew him so intimately and could reveal him perfectly. And who was his family member? It was his own Son. But that's not enough, because the next verse tells us that he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. This person who came into the world is the Son of God. The Son of God came to reveal to us God. God wanted us to know so much what he was like, that God says, I'm going to not only tell you what I'm like, I'm going to show you what I'm like. And so when you go to John chapter 1, what's the title of the Lord Jesus in John 1 and verse 1 and through that first 14 verses? It's the Word. Think of that. God, and we in our minds say God searched, but he didn't search, did he? It was his purpose right from the very beginning to show us what he's like through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. And what does that mean? Well, how do we communicate? We communicate using words, right? And hopefully the Lord is using a few of these words to speak something to you. But we use our words to pass on a message. Well, how did God pass on his message? He sent his Son into the world, and his Son came not only to tell us about God, but to show us what God is like. And if there's any testimony to God's message to us, it's the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man. Stop and think about that. Is God serious about you hearing him? Absolutely. In fact, he is so serious that his own Son came here to earth so that we could know him. But that was not the ultimate part of the message, was it? The ultimate part of the message, and I know I'm jumping ahead a bit, but I want you to see that, is God ultimately demonstrated how serious it is by sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins. God is serious about us knowing him. And so he would send the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son. It says here, who is the express image. He is God himself. And so he's speaking to us. But turn over to John chapter 14 to get a... When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he is the Word and that he came to reveal the Father. But look in John chapter 14 and verse 8. Look what Philip would say. Now, Philip had spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus, and so he knew the Lord Jesus. And yet, look what he says here. John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. In other words, Philip is thinking, now, if you could just show us God, the Father, then that's all we want. And I wonder if Jesus kind of, oh, 3 years and you didn't get it. Listen to Jesus' answer. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the express image. He is God incarnate. And so he came and he has displayed to us, he's shown to us all that God is. Do you want to know God? then look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, Hebrews chapter 1 says that God has spoken through the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we have to pay attention to what is the message. Now turn back to chapter 1 of John, chapter 1, John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, look what John would say there in verse 18. Because we haven't seen God, but it says there, John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so what he's saying here, John is saying here, and he's really given us a picture of intimacy. He's saying that the Lord Jesus left that place of such closeness with the Father. The idea is that they were like, as you were, leaning against each other. They were like a father and son in embrace. And the Lord Jesus would leave that, and you can almost picture him going down from heaven and coming down where we are. With what purpose? He came, it says, to declare the Father, but the idea declare is to reveal to us what the Father is like, to give us the message of the Father. He is the Word of God, who God sent him here so we could know what God is like and to hear his message. And so the Lord Jesus left that place to come down here so we could know God. And obviously the message is so very important. Now, we have to then ask, what is the message? Well, first of all, if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you say, I was talking to a guy yesterday and asked him about that, and well, you know, I'm not afraid to die, he said. It's like, well, we're all going to die. He said, well, you know, and then he started good, and I've been pretty good, and I've never been a murderer and all this. It's like, but that's not the message, is it? What is the message that God came to give us? And I want you to see this. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was speaking in Athens, on Mars Hill, and he was speaking to a bunch of Greeks, who would have not known about God. And so he spoke to them about the unknown God. And when he says that, I want you to see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, look what he says there. He says, Acts 17 verse 30, he says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now look at this, but now commends all men everywhere to repent. This is the message of God that he's speaking to us through the Lord Jesus. Because keep your finger here for a minute and go over to Mark chapter 1. So the Lord Jesus had come into the world. He just begun his ministry. So he 30 long years, he was growing up. And then finally at age 30, he begins his ministry. And you have to ask yourself, what's his message going to be? What's the first word he's going to say? And you come to Mark chapter 1, and each one, there's different things that are mentioned, but in Mark chapter 1, the first thing Mark records as the message of Jesus, look at verse 15, Mark 1 verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, look at this, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. The message of God that he's giving to us through the Lord Jesus. The very first message Jesus would say is repent and believe the gospel. The message Paul would give to these men in Mars Hill was repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, the question then is, what do we have to repent of? We have to repent of our sin against God. The fact that we've lived our life in ignorance of the God who's created everything around us, the God who gives us the life and breath that we hold. Every breath that you and I take is given to you by God. It's a gift from God. Just stop and think about that. I don't know if you ever do that, but just feel your heartbeat and feel the air fill your lungs and know that at any moment God could take it. And one day, Hebrews tells us there's appointed for man a time to die. Every one of us will die. And God will say, you're coming, and you will stand before him. And so he commands us to repent. of the sin that we have against him. And if you persist in that sin, if you refuse to recognize God's authority, then one day you'll stand before him and he will tell you that you'll be cast out to depart from his presence. Why? Because all you've done is work iniquity. And you might say, well, I've never done anything that bad. But you see, it's not about your works. It's about your rejection of God. That from your very, very infancy, the Bible says, we've all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. And instead of us being punished, God has punished the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look at us, our whole system of living is devoted to me. Look at the world around us. Listen to the world. It's all about me. And what can I do? And how can I live? And how can I be satisfied? And I don't feel good. And it's me, 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 me. And God says, it's time you took the me out and you began to listen to me. Because our sins are against God. Everything we do is a disobedience. I shouldn't say everything, but when we go our way instead of God's way, we disobey him and we sin against him. And the Bible says that all have sinned. And the message of God is so clear. Jesus came into the world and he said, repent of what? Of your sin, of failing to listen to God, of failing to leave your sins behind. Folks, your sin will take you to hell, away from God forever. Never to see him, separated forever. It's eternal, folks. This is not something you can say. Somebody was telling me this recently, and they said this guy told them, well, I guess I'll see when I get to the other side. Oh, you'll see for sure. But there's no do-overs. There's no saying, I'll come back, let me try again. The rich man, the Bible says there was a rich man in hell, and he lifted up his eyes. You know what he said? He said, at least send somebody back to warn my brothers so they don't come here. Oh, he would love to warn everyone here. Don't come here. Listen. Your sin will take you to hell from God forever. God has, he sent his son here in the world that he wants you to hear this. And the fact is, we were talking about love this morning. He loves you and I so much that he sent his son into the world so that we could be delivered from sin. 1 Peter says in chapter 3, it says that he, Christ, once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. This is the message of God, because what happened? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into the world and he showed us the heart of God. He showed us that God loves the sinner. You watch Jesus, and there he goes, and he sits down. I don't know if I could sit on this, but I'm going to. There Jesus sits down with the publicans and sinners, and everybody's going, oh, look who he's eating with. Did you see? She touched him. He doesn't know what she's like. That's the worst woman in the city. And then you see Jesus over there, and there comes the leper up to Jesus, and this leper is the outcast in the community. Like, nobody's supposed to come near him, and he comes to Jesus. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus doesn't stand back from him, but he comes up and he touches him. Nobody would do that, but Jesus did. Why did he do that? Because he wants us to understand that he came here for a purpose, and the purpose is so that we could be delivered from our sin. God doesn't want us living in our sin. He wants us to have a relationship with him and an abundant life, to be part of his family. And the question is, are you still in your sin? Do you know for sure that if you were to die this very moment, that you would be with God? And if you can't answer that question by saying, yes, I know I'd be with God, then we need to talk. Or you need to find somebody here who is a believer, and you need to say to them, I need Jesus, and I need to deal with my sin. You see, Jesus paid for your sin on the cross. He suffered. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see this. If you've got a Bible at all, look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Listen to God saying this to you this morning. This is God's message for you. And look what he says, 1 Peter 2, 24. Who himself, this is speaking about Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus paid for your sins and my sins on the cross. I was talking to a guy this week, And he said to me, but he says, you don't know what I did before. He said to me, I was an awful man. I don't deserve to be a believer. I don't deserve to be a Christian. I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. I said, you're right, you don't. But the truth is, none of us do. We all deserve eternal judgment in hell. But that's the grace of God. Remember, Jesus came to tell us, to show us what God is like? Well, grace is something that God is. And what is that? Well, God giving to us something we don't deserve. Do I deserve to be forgiven my sin? No, I don't. I deserve God's wrath. But instead, he shows me mercy. And he says, I'll forgive you your sin if you'll confess them. Is there anything easier? He doesn't say to you, you'll go make a pilgrimage to Ottawa and bow down before the Parliament 10 times and you'll be forgiven. No, no, he doesn't say anything like that. Or you pick your place, I don't care, Ottawa popped in my head. But he says to us, he says, if you will confess your sins, I will forgive them. And I took this brother to that place because he professed salvation. I said, look what it says. How many sins does he forgive? Well, it says he forgives our sins. If I confess him, he forgives them. And that's what God is asking you to do today. Christ has paid for your sin. Now, what does he want you to do? Confess them. And God's part is to forgive them. Why? Because Jesus has paid the price. They're all paid for. But you can only receive the benefit of that if you come to him. See, the price has been paid, but it's only of benefit to you if you'll come to him and confess your sin, and then he can stamp on your account paid in full. But if you say, well, you know, I don't really believe that, I'm not quite sure about it, then what you're doing, now get this, you're refusing to believe what Jesus says. You're refusing to believe what God has said. And you know what God has, he's got nothing more to offer you. It's his very, he's given his very best for you and for me. His own son. And if you say, well, that's, no, there's nothing left. And one day you will appear before him. And the question is going to be quite simple. What did you do with Jesus? Did you believe him or did you reject him? And the evidence will be there. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. And he'll look at you and it's either going to be, well done, welcome home. Or it's going to be, depart from me into everlasting judgment. Get this, it wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you refuse God, there's no place in heaven for you. But I'd like to tell you this, if you believe him, your sins are forgiven. On the basis of the word of God, your sins are forgiven. And you are then part of the family of God. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or authority to become children of God. You know, if you believe the message today, if you believe what God says, and just think of this, Jesus came into the world so that you and I could be part of his family. What? Children of God? No, I don't deserve it. All I've done is against God, and yet he says, I want you to be part of my family. It's like, wow, that is too good a deal to pass up. What do I got to do? Like, what do I have to do? I surely got to do a lot. No, you confess your sin and believe me, and you're part of my family. Wow. And that's what he asks, that we believe him, and then he forgives our sin, and now we're part of the children of God. But I'd like to take the last few minutes here, and I'd like to speak to you if you're a believer here today. And I'd like to ask you, do you hear God speaking? Because once we're born again, God doesn't all of a sudden shut down the channels and say, yeah, there you go. No, God brings us into relationship. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because God has brought us into relationship with a purpose. And the purpose right from the very beginning is for man to know him and to have fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, have been called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship is talking about communion. And communion, again, is all about communication. It's two ways. Me communing with God, God communing with me. And now, the question that I'm asking you is, because we see God spoke, he speaks through creation, he's spoken to us through his Son, He speaks to us through his word. Do you hear God speaking? Or are you so busy with your life that you fail to hear God speaking? Folks, there's nothing. I don't know how to communicate this. Folks, this world will suck everything out of you, and it'll give you absolutely nothing for Christ. It'll take you, it'll distract you entirely from Christ. It's interesting, I listened to David Gooding this week, and he takes us to 1 John chapter 2, and he says there, he talks about all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. And the point he makes is this, is that the world wants to attract you by all it offers. But if you go a little further, you know what it says? Be not surprised if you discover the world hates you. Why? Because you're of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God. See, the world doesn't love you, but it wants to take you away from him. Why? Because it hates him. Folks, you've got to be aware of this. Because the world is going to distract you with everything around. And you know, there's an interesting little story about this guy who was from the city, went to visit a friend who lived out in the country. Like, this guy was a woodsman. And he said they were walking through the woods, and this woodsman all of a sudden goes, "What?" He looked over, and there was a deer or something walking through. He said, "How did you hear that?" Well, he says, I just learned to hear that. "Oh, wow," he says, "you got amazing ears." They went to the city, so the woodsman went to the city, and they're walking down the street, and somebody dropped a handful of change over there, and everybody, like that, looked over there. And he looked, and he says, "That's what you guys have learned to listen for." What are you listening for? I was thinking about that on the way over. What do I hear? Do I long to hear the voice of the Lord? Do I linger in his presence so that I can hear him speaking to me? Do I spend time in the Word of God every day so I can hear the one who loved me so much he died for me? Or is this the first thing I sacrifice in my day? Oh, I got an appointment today. I guess I haven't got time to read the Bible. Oh, I got to get to work. I guess I don't have time to read the Bible. And you make the list up, whatever it happens to be. And I'm not disputing that we all have responsibilities. But I'm telling you something, folks. The world's not going to give you anything so that you can be a better Christian. It's going to suck everything away from you and leave you dry so that you don't follow him. Do you hear him speaking? When you're in the Word of God, maybe you're saying, "Yeah, well, I read the Bible every day." You know what? The scribes and the Pharisees, they read their Bible probably way more than anybody here. And yet they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not enough. They made law. They were making long prayers in public. That's not enough. If you are not spending time and hearing God communing with you through his Spirit, then you're missing out. And so I ask you, Christian, today, do you hear God speaking? No, I'm not talking about some audible voice, you know. "Hello." That's not what I'm talking about. You may need to up your meds or turn your hearing aid down. I don't know what it might be. I'm talking as you read the Word of God, and all of a sudden you see, and the Holy Spirit says, "You know, Mark, that connects over there." And it's like, "That is so cool." And it's like, "Oh, you got to see that." And, "Well, there's got to be more here." And it's like, "Oh, shoot, I got to get going." And is that, do you hear God speaking to you? Have you lost that? Well, then let me suggest to you, what I'm suggesting to you is get in the Word of God, get down in front of the Word of God and say, "God, talk to me. I want to see something from your Word today. I need that. We need that. The church needs that, folks." Why is it, and the seven letters to the churches, five letters, and you know what the main message was? Hold fast what you have. Why? Because it was slipping away. People weren't listening to God. Are you listening to God? Are you hearing him speaking? That's the message, folks, and it's as much a message for us today as it was for them back then. Hold fast. We're only going to hold fast if we're in the Word of God. Do you hear God speaking to you today? You know, turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and you should know this verse. First John chapter 1 and verse 7, look what it says there. It says, "If we walk in the light as he, the Lord Jesus, in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we're walking in light with him, we're going to have fellowship. And that fellowship is a communion back and forth. Are you having that? Or are you like Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20? You know that verse, you should know it by heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. That's not an evangelistic verse, folks. That's a verse for the church. And the saddest part of that verse is that Jesus is standing outside the door, and he's standing out there, and he's not outside the church. Can I come in? Can I come in? That could easily be here, folks. And it starts with us individually. When we stop hearing that voice, when we stop having that communion, what's happened? Well, in my heart, he's outside the door. Because fellowship, he says, I want to come in and I want to eat with you. And have you ever gone and had supper somebody's place? What happens? Well, if you're at our place, especially growing up, the kids are, stop and eat, would you? Because we're all done and you're still talking. And it's like just the conversation will go every which way. That's supper, eating together, is all about fellowship, talking and going on and sharing what's going on in your life. That's what eating together is all about. And Jesus wants to come in, and it's like he wants to sit down with us, and you see him sitting there. So what's happening in your life? Like, this is what it's about, folks. It's real. Like, God's not up there. Thou shalt verily not do that. That is evil. That's not a relationship. That's a legalism. No, he wants to know. Like, have you ever asked God, how are you doing today? Like, have you ever said, what is on your heart today? Especially for me. Like, God, what's on your mind? See, he wants to come in and fellowship with us and sit down and so that we can talk back and forth. But too often we're too busy. We've got too many things going in our life. And he's standing outside the door. And so, Christian, I ask you, do you hear God speaking? Do you hear God speaking? So I'd like to conclude this. You know, one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and he will reign. And if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will come and he will speak to you, unfortunately, in judgment. But that doesn't have to happen. If you will repent, like we read today, if you repent and believe that Jesus Christ has paid for your sin, he says you have, not you can have, you will have eternal life. If you will confess your sin and turn from it and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he says you have everlasting life. That's the offer for you today. Will you take it? Please do. Jesus is calling you. Will you answer him? But believer, I just want to ask you this today, is to honestly before God, face up to the fact, do I hear God speaking? And if you do not, I challenge you. I challenge you because God is coming soon. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning. We'll be for him soon. What is more important than that? If you need to make changes, make the changes today in your life so that you have the time to hear God speaking. Because I'll tell you something, the world will not give you the time. It'll take everything from you and it'll be demanding more. Do you hear God speaking? Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, that you would send him from heaven down here so that we could know you, so that we could have a relationship with you, to be brought into this place of being children of God. And Father, I would just bring before you anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, would you not speak to them? Show them your love through the Lord Jesus, and may they repent and turn to you. And Father, for any believer here today who has drifted or even just has failed to hear you speaking to them through your word, oh God, I pray that you would draw them with your love, with your cords of love, Lord, that they might turn and, Father, seek your face, Lord, and hear you again, communicating and enjoying fellowship with you. So, Father, I pray this now in the lovely name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.